Thank you, Chris. Does everybody have a handout? Anybody need one? Everybody good to go? I think one gentleman came in here. Did you get one, sir? All right, everybody has now. How about a pen or pencils? Anybody need one of those? So that way you can doodle on the back instead of take notes. Anybody need anything like that? Good to go? Oh, we need a pencil, right? Oh, you need a pencil? Oh, okay. Jerry, can you grab her an outline? Right over there on the counter there. Let me ask you a question. What if, this is a big what if, but it could happen, possible. What if someone was to give you $1,440 and said, go spend it any way you'd like? How many would like that? How many would like to receive $1,440 just to spend it any way you'd like? Yeah, me too. Well, let me ask even a bigger what if question, okay? What if someone, now if this happens, I want to be with you when it happens. What if someone was to give you $86,400 and said, spend it any way you would like? How many would like that? Every hand ought to be up. Come on now. $86,400? I'd take it in a heartbeat, wouldn't you? You want to know something? Every day, you get 1,440 minutes. Every day, you get 86,400 seconds. And you can use it any way you want. I wonder how many of us are taking advantage of those 1,440 minutes or those 86,400 seconds. Every single day, you just get it put right back in and say, hey, here it is again, use it. How are you going to use it? I would hope you would use it wisely and know that there are not just certain days that you get that amount of time, but every single day of your life, you get that amount of time to use. You can use it selfishly or you can use it in a way that meets other people's needs. You could serve or you could be served. Several ways to look at how that you spend that 86,400 seconds every single day. Now, in this time span that we call life, there are a lot of different defining moments. Moments that you can think back on and go, I'll never forget that time, that day, that moment that happened in my life. We all have them. We have defining moments. You could probably share right now, probably in your mind, you've already thought of a defining moment that you could reflect back on and say, yeah, I remember the time, the day, I remember the moment. I remember where I was when it happened. Let me give you an example. 9/11. Most people remember where they were, don't they? Remember what was going on, remember what was taking, I was sitting in a church office. Actually, my mom and dad had just left us in Tennessee. They were on their way back home to Missouri. And I sat down before I went into the office in my recliner and I flipped on the TV and I thought, I'll just see what the news has to say. After they left. And there it was on the television. A defining moment that I don't think the world, America for sure, but the world will never forget. You knew where you were, what was going on, and what happened. But let's take it down a notch or two. That's pretty big, isn't it? How about your first car? You remember your first car? I remember mine. Little Volkswagen VW, blue. Man, that thing could scat, it could get, and I could put a dollar's worth of gas in it and probably go a week and a half. That's back when gas was a lot less expensive. And that little dude got me through Bible college. I mean, there wasn't much money coming through in Bible college, and so a dollar's worth of gas and that car could get me going for about a week and a half. I was very happy. Now, I've never worked on a car so much in all my life because every time I turned around, something was wrong with that thing. But it was a little old 71 light blue VW bug, the Beetle. How about your first job? You remember your first job? Where you were and how little money you made? My first job, I won't let you guess, but my first job, I was flipping hamburgers at McDonald's. That was my first job. It's the first top place I knew and realized that pickles came in 5-gallon buckets. Massive buckets of pickles that we would go through every single day at McDonald's. Got a little bit of ring. Is that me? Do I need to go up there? Does that help? How about graduation day? Remember where you were? Remember what year it was when you graduated? How about this one? How about your wedding day, for those of you that are married? I'll never forget my wedding day. Now, the older we get, some say men always forget their anniversary, but I know December 19th, 1987. We've actually been married 30 years now. And I can still see Cindy coming down the middle aisle and my heart beating 1,000 beats per minute, I think it was. I'll never forget that defining moment that took place in that day that was an incredible 86,400 seconds. How about that first baby? I'll never forget. The first and only for us, Jason Michael Housley was born. July 11th, 1989. And what an incredible day. What a defining moment that took place. I'll never forget it. We find a time in the Bible that was a defining moment in this person's life. I'm going to put all the scripture up on the screen so you can read them and follow along with me. But it's found in Joshua chapter 1, verses 2 through 9. You know that we're halfway through, almost, 2018? Isn't it incredible how time just flies, it seems like? And some of you have had a good year, some of you had a bad year, some of you say, well, it's just going fine, it's not difficult, nothing wrong, nothing drastic has happened, but it's just kind of a smooth sailing year. Some have said, this is one of the best years of my life. Others would say, no, it's been a rough year. It's been a tough year. And this might be a year that one of those defining moments take place in your life. But today we want to look at Joshua's life and find out that his time has come. And so if you'll follow along with me, just follow along on the screen and we'll read Joshua chapter 1, verses 2 through 9. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now we could keep going, and a lot of people, you read right past that and keep going, but let's stop right there and talk for just a second. We're talking about Moses. We're talking about burning bush Moses, the one who said was told to take off his sandals because he's standing on holy ground, Moses. We're talking about the Ten Commandments, Moses, that went up on the mountain and brought down the Ten Commandments, Moses. We're talking about lift the staff and part the Red Sea, Moses. We're talking about going to Pharaoh and saying, Pharaoh, let my people go, Moses. We're talking about hit the rock and water comes from it, and speak to the rock and water comes from it, Moses. We're talking about, hey guys, will you hold up my arms? And if you hold up my arms, we'll win this battle. But if you let my arms fall, we're going to lose it. So hold my arms up, Moses. We're talking about, Pharaoh, if you don't let my people go, I've got 10 plagues that are coming your way. And they did. Moses. So we've just read five words and we've already found, wow, Moses, my servant, is gone. I understand that in reading, most scholars say that Moses was 120 years old when he passed away. Now Joshua at this time, his defining moment was getting ready to take place. Moses had just passed away and Joshua was going to step in and be the leader. And from all that I have read and tried to find out, it's estimated that Joshua was somewhere between 68 and 78 years old. How many are there? Between 68 and 78. And a defining moment is taking place in his life. Maybe some of you in that 68 to 78 year age have said, hey, no more defining moments, please. I've had quite a few. But Joshua, and somewhere in that age limit there, another defining moment is taking place. Moses, my servant, is dead. Let's go on. Therefore, the time has come. As your time has come. The time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land that I am giving them, the promised land. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherefore, wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east of the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. Wow, what a statement. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous. Remember that statement. For you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Again, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study the book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. And this is my command, once again, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Three times the Lord had to say to Joshua, Joshua, now don't forget, buddy, be strong and very courageous. Because a defining moment is coming your way. You have to be strong. You have to be courageous. And I believe he says the same to us today. The time has come. And I need you to be strong and I need you to be very courageous. Because it's time today. Your time has come. It might be time for a clean slate. It might be time for a fresh start. It might be time for a new beginning. But I say today to you, your time has come. And I believe your time has come today, number one, fill in this blank, to start your adventure. To start your adventure. You say, now wait, too late. I mean, I'm this old. I've been through these things. But I want you to remember Joshua was 68 to 78 years old. And it was time to start his new adventure as a leader of the Israelites. He said in verse 2 again, therefore the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land that I am giving them. In other words, Joshua, the past is gone. You've been in the wilderness now for 40 years. You've been wandering around. Moses has been the leader. You've been there learning what you can. Moses has been giving you instruction, guiding you, directing you, teaching you. Your time has come now to start your adventure. The past is gone. You'll never get it back. It's dead. It's gone. It's time for you to move forward and start your adventure. Your adventure is waiting for you. Now let me remind you of this. You can't start my adventure. And I can't start your adventure. You have to begin and start your own adventure as I have to start my own adventure. We each must determine, I'm going to start my adventure. Here it is. My time has come. I'm going to start my adventure. Fill in this blank. You will never experience all God has for you without movement. Ever seen somebody who finally said, hey, I'm just to the point, I'm just going to sit down, kind of sail the rest of the way out? Don't do that. Don't ever decide, hey, I'm done, I'm finished, I'm just going to wait. I'm just going to sit and wait the rest of my life. Don't ever do that. You will never experience all that God has for you. And let me tell you this. If you're still on this side of the earth, God still has something for you. Don't think that God is through. Don't think that God is finished. Don't think that God says, well, I'm just going to put them on the shelf over here until I'm ready to bring them home. God never does that. When it's time to bring you home, he'll bring you home. But until he does, he has an adventure for you. He has something that he wants you to do. And you'll never experience all that God has for you without you deciding to move and find out what that adventure is. Here's a statement that's just incredible. All right, you ready? Hold on to your seat. If nothing changes, nothing changes. Ooh, powerful. Not really. But if you don't change, nothing's going to change. You have to decide, I'm going to start my adventure. My time has come. God has a plan for me. He wants me to experience more of what He has for me. And if I don't change, nothing's going to change. In other words, it might be time for you to take a step of faith. You ever taken a step of faith? Ever decided that, okay, I don't know what's ahead. I don't know what God has for me and ahead of me. I don't know what God has in store for me. But I'm going to take that step of faith and see what God has. So I ask you, when was the last time you took a step of faith? When was the last time you said, God, I'm just going to move. I'm going to make a change. And I'm going to see what God has for me. Matthew records in his account of Jesus in chapter 4 and verse 22 through 29, follow this. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake. While he sent the other people home, after sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far off from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, I thought that very interesting. I think that we plan on God, I'm going to get up, I'm going to have my breakfast, have a little devotion time. Hey, can you wait maybe 10 o'clock or maybe after lunch? Let me have a good lunch. Let me get like a meat and three thing in me. And then maybe in that afternoon, if you'll kind of do something and show me my adventure, show me my next step, show me where I need to go faith. It doesn't happen like that. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. Now, for some reason, there for this long period of time, and this hit me like a ton of bricks when I was reading it again. Because there for a long time, it's almost like I would go to sleep at 10:30, 11 o'clock, somewhere around that time, and it was almost like a light switch went on at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I would wake up. And I would lay there. I preached the best messages to the ceiling in my bedroom. If the ceiling could get saved, it would be saved by now, because I've really preached some incredible messages to the ceiling. But at 3 o'clock in the morning, I wake up and stuff start going through my mind. I'll start thinking of things. What does God want me to do? What's in things that are coming ahead, and how do I take care of those things? 3 o'clock in the morning, and that just was amazing to me after I read that. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." And then Peter, we all know Peter, don't we? He called out to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." And Jesus said, "Okay, if that's what you want, yes, come." So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. Now, you've all heard the story. I'm sure most of you have. He didn't take too many steps, did he? Until he started going down. But the point of this is, and the point I want to bring across is, Peter started his adventure. He took a step of faith. He stepped out of the boat. Now, there were other disciples in the boat. Did they take a step of faith? No. They didn't step out of the boat. But Peter decided, I'm going to take a step of faith. I'm going to start an adventure. Now, where it takes me, I really don't know. But Jesus was right there with him and pulled him up out. So whatever step of faith you need to take, realize this, Jesus is right there to help you. Jesus is right there to extend his hand and maybe pull you up after you're going down for the third time. So what's the next step? What's a step of faith? It's different for each of us. Maybe for some of you, it's baptism. You remember trusting the Lord as your Savior, but you've never been and made a public profession. Maybe it's baptism. Maybe you've been putting it off and waiting, and well, the time will come, and maybe another time. And maybe it's baptism. Maybe it's serving. Maybe it's serving. Maybe you say, I've been a Christian for a long time. I've been trying to do what the Lord wants me to do, but maybe it's time to get in and serve somebody. To serve someone. To serve the Lord by serving someone. Do you know that you'll come across several opportunities every day to serve somebody. It's the smallest thing. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be huge. And I've said this, maybe I said this last time I was here. You don't have to serve everybody. Do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. Like, I wish I could give $1,440 to everybody here today, but I can't. I wish I could give you $86,400, but I can't. Do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. Maybe I told you this last time too, but I'll tell you again. When I get into the Walmart parking lot, which I don't know whether you can live without going to Walmart once a week, but I go there more than that. When I get out of the car, I always look around. If there's somebody unloading their groceries, I'll wait until they get so I can take their cart and take it back up with me so they don't have to push it anywhere. Or if there's nobody that's around me unloading their groceries or putting their groceries into their car, I'll look for two carts and just grab them and pull them up to the front. Does that make a big difference in the world as we know it? It wasn't on the news last night. You didn't see that, did you? Willis Housley brings up shopping cart from Walmart. Wasn't there. It wasn't in the paper. But it's just a small way of serving. That guy that goes out and pushes all those carts that works at Walmart, that's a tough job. It's a tough job. If I can take two carts off his hand and bring them up to the front, I'm happy to help him out just a little bit. Maybe it's coming to Wednesday night Bible study. I think you guys have a meal on Wednesday night. You guys have a Bible study on Wednesday night. Maybe you say, I always come on Sunday. Never am able and never do try to come on Wednesday night. Maybe that's your next step. That's, you say, well, that's not big. No, it's not. But maybe it's your step of faith that needs to take place. You need to start your adventure. And what is it? It's a step of faith for all of us. What does God have for me? Joshua's time has come, and I believe your time has come also. Secondly, we also see the time has come to face our fears. To face your fears. We see in verse 6 through 7, Joshua is told that his time has come to face his fears. Verse 7 says this, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instruction Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do." What's holding you back? What's keeping you from taking that next step of faith? It might be time to step out of your comfort zone. You have to stretch in order to grow. And you'll need to build up some courage and some strength. You've got to have courage to say, all right, it's time. It's time to take my next step. It's time to start my adventure. It's time to face my fear. I found it very interesting. Do you know that the phrase "fear not" is in the Bible 365 times? How many days in a year? Every single day God gives you a fear not. You wake up and say, hey, I used that fear not yesterday. That was quite a step. God says, I got another one for you today. Fear not. Every single day. When I was a student pastor in Tennessee, I was a student pastor for 14 years working with teenagers. I took them to this place in between Nashville and Knoxville. It was a camp, and they had a ropes course. They also had a cave where you could go spelunking. They had an obstacle course where you could run and do a lot of different things. And they would sit you down, and after you did that, they would relate that back to Scripture. It was an incredible camp to go to. But they had this ropes course that was about 20 feet up in the trees that they had put together, these cables and this path for you to go through. And you would walk across. You'd always be hooked into this cable where you wouldn't fall. But you would walk across this steps. You would have to go through this swinging cables. We finally got to the end of this course, and there was a platform probably about the size of this little table right here. Again, remember, I'm 20 feet up in the air, and I'm standing on this platform about this tall, about that big. 20 feet up in the air, I am hooked in, but also there's a guy down at the bottom. He's got a rope, and he's holding on to me. They call it belay. He was holding on. About 7 feet, maybe 6-7 feet out in front of me was a bar. And my last thing to do after I'd been through all of this ropes course was to stand on that little platform and jump out and grab that bar. Sounds easy, doesn't it? Not 20 feet up in the air, it doesn't. I looked down, I looked around, I knew I was hooked in, I knew the guy. Actually, I had to unhook because the guy had me at the bottom. He was holding on that rope, belaying me. When I jumped, he was going to hang on to me. And I'm thinking, I know my size. I see your size. Is this going to work? I don't know if it's going to take place. I promise you, I stood there for about 20 minutes trying to build up the courage in myself to jump and grab that bar. You don't know what goes through your mind when you're getting ready to jump 20 feet up in the air. Am I going to miss the bar? Is that guy going to let go of the rope and accidentally something happen? Am I going down to the ground? 20 minutes I stood there, finally built up the courage and jumped. I did grab the bar, thank goodness. And then he slowly lowered me down. But I tell you, I had to face my fears. That same camp we went another time, and there was a cave that you could go spelunking in. We had on the helmets, we had on the little flashlight on the hat, everything, it was cool. Went down in this cave, it stays about 60-something degrees down there, it was nice and cool during the summer. And we went into a room that was probably as big as this room. There were bats hanging from the ceiling. I mean, it's cave, ooh, scary stuff. I thought, I'm cool, this is going good. Well, then he said, okay, we're going to go further back into the cave. So off we go. We got into a spot in that cave where I had to walk sideways like this, because here was the rocks and back here was the rocks. And I was walking, and sometimes the rocks would catch my nose as I was moving. I got about halfway into that, and I yelled up to the front, I'm going back. I'm out of here. I was sweating. I felt like it was 400 degrees down there. And I never knew that I was claustrophobic until I got in about 60 feet underground and rocks on both sides of my body, and I'm trying to move. Like, we had a kid that came. I went out. I got out of the cave and went and sat down in a chair, and I called my wife. I said, Cindy, you just won't believe how I feel right now. And I was shaking. I was so nervous. We had a kid that come out. They all went the rest of the way through the cave. And there was a kid come out. He was about the size of my finger from head to toe. Little skinny kid. Blair Benefield was his name. He came out after all of that with scratch marks on his back from crawling in one place in that cave. And I said, you think this guy would have made it through that little tiny spot? I was scared to death. Maybe it's time for you to face your fears. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Sometimes we just got to realize we've got a cheering crowd that's saying, hey, take that next step, start your adventure, face your fear, and thirdly, hear his voice. Listen and hear his voice. We see in verse 8, Joshua is told that it's time now to hear the Lord's voice. Verse 8, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. And if you're an underliner or a highlighter in your Bible, underline, only then. Only then, Joshua, if you study continually, you meditate on it day and night, you obey everything written in it, only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. See? This is not just a book. It's not just a book. Actually, it's a collection of ancient manuscripts and letters as God spoke and through ancient men as they wrote down what God told them to write. I put it this way. This is not a set of instructions to be read, but it's a voice to be heard. Every time you open, every time you read, even if it's a small passage, even if it's a short verse, or every time you read something out of this book, it's the voice of God speaking to you. It's time to hear his voice. It's time to listen. John starts his account of Jesus in his letter, John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Paul speaks to the Hebrew believers in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the Word of God is alive and active. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Paul says to Timothy in his second letter to him in 2 Timothy chapter 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed. It's alive. It's not just a book to be read. It's a voice that you can hear every time that you read it. The time has come to start your adventure, to face your fears, to hear His voice, and next, just simply trust your Creator. The time has come to trust your Creator. We see in verse 9 of Joshua chapter 1 that Joshua's time has come to trust his Creator. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You know, it often comes down to this. Sometimes you just have to trust. Sometimes you just have to trust. Some things, they demand trust. The Bible says without faith it is what? Impossible to please God. Without faith, without trusting, and not trusting in the surroundings, not trusting in yourself, not trusting in things, trusting in the one who saved you. See, we have to trust His purpose, trust His plan, and trust His promises. Can I tell you this? I don't think I'm going to surprise any of you. Life is tough, isn't it? Life is tough. It's tough on everyone from time to time. Remember this, though. No matter what struggle you face, no matter what hurt you feel, no matter what pain you experience, God is right there with you. Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Put all your trust in Him. Paul tells the Hebrew disciples in Hebrews chapter 13, the Lord has promised that He will not leave us or desert us. And that should make you feel like saying, the Lord helps me, why should I be afraid of what people can do to me? Remember this, He rules, He reigns, and He wins. He rules, He reigns, and He wins. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to trust the one who rules and reigns and wins, because that's where I can place my trust in. That's where I can have faith. So I believe it's time for a clean slate, a fresh start, a new beginning. And I believe it's time for you to start your adventure. I don't know what your adventure is. I can't start it for you. You have to start yours. You can't start mine. I believe it's time for you to face your fears. I believe it's time to hear His voice. Maybe that's your next step. Opening God's Word and listening to His voice a little bit more than what you do. And now maybe it's time just to trust your Creator. Place your trust in Him. Put your trust in Jesus today. Give Him your heart and give Him your life. You might be a believer. See, I've trusted Christ a long time ago. But maybe you've never fully trusted Him with everything. Maybe it's time just to give Him everything. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Or maybe you've been there before. See, I remember the time I just put total trust in Jesus. Well, maybe it's time to go back again and trust Him some more. So I'm giving you at the bottom, let me let you fill in these last few blanks. I'm calling it the refrigerator statement, okay? You can cut this off, stick it on your refrigerator, and you'll have something to remember this by. Look back and thank God. Boy, how many times can we do that? How many times can we look back and say, God, thank you for getting me through that. Thank you for bringing me through. Thank you for providing back when. Thank you for meeting my needs. Look back and thank God. Secondly, look forward and trust God. We do not know what tomorrow holds. We hope we know, but we do not know. Why don't you just look forward and trust God that He's going to take care of it, that He's going to provide, that He's going to make a way. Thirdly, look around and serve God. Doesn't take you long to look around and find the need to be met, and maybe you can meet that need. Maybe you're the only one that can meet that need. God says, hey, I've got something for you. I need you to do it. He doesn't want anybody else to do it. He doesn't need anybody else to do it. It's you that needs to meet that need. So there's a need to be met. Don't talk yourself out of it. Meet the need. And lastly, look within and invite God. Do you know that God wants to be a part of every part of your life? He doesn't want to just be a part of your Bible study or your Sunday morning or your Wednesday night or your prayer time. He wants to be a part of every part of your life. Invite him into every part, every area of your life. Would you bow your heads with me, please? And before we have our time of commitment and invite you forward, if that's what you would like, I'd like for us all to do something now. I'd like for you just to repeat this prayer after me. Say this with all your heart, realizing that you need to start your adventure, you need to face your fear, you need to hear His voice, and you need to trust the Creator. And maybe you need to take that step. Maybe you need to begin today to start afresh. So would you repeat this after me? And then we'll have our time of invitation. Say, God, I confess that I go my own way. I confess my sins to you. Today, I turn my back on sin. And I turn to you. I ask you to take my day. Be the Lord of my day. Change me. I surrender everything to you. Be my Lord. Be my God. I give you my life today. Amen. God, speak to our hearts. If there's one here today that needs to trust you just a little more, or there's one here today that needs to begin trusting you and giving their life to you, I pray that this time will be a time that they dedicate and commit their life to serving you, to listening to you, to facing their fears, to hearing your voice, and just simply putting their trust and faith in you. We pray this in your name, and as we pray and as we sing, please be with those that come forward. In your name we pray. Amen.